Our first speaker today is Angus Fletcher, an English professor at The Ohio State University. Angus, please go ahead.
I'm here to tell you that what's next in our future is literature, because literature is the most powerful technology that we humans have ever invented, more powerful than computers, rocket ships, and artificial intelligence. By literature, I mean the classics like Sappho and Shakespeare and Maya Angelou, but I also mean Winnie the Pooh and comic books like Alison Bechdel's Fun Home and TV shows like Tina Fey's 30 Rock and films like Casablanca. All that is literature. All that is the most powerful technology ever invented. Now, when I say that literature is the most powerful of all technologies, people sometimes think that I'm being metaphorical or over the top. But it's a literal scientific fact, which is why, to give you one example from my recent research, I'm doing a joint study with the United States Army in which we're testing a specific literary invention on 800 of the Army's top officers, majors, and colonels to help them boost creative thinking in pressurized situations. So in other words, we're testing how a literary technology can increase your performance in life and death environments to think fast and devise original solutions to rapidly changing problems that computers and artificial intelligence can't solve. And the data is solid enough that we've already got strong interest from other sectors of the Department of Defense and a half dozen Fortune 50 companies. The scientific reason that literature is so powerful is that it allows us to get more out of our brain. And a human brain is, as we all know, the most powerful thing on earth, for good or for ill. So by helping us get more of the good and less of the ill, literature can transform the globe, giving us more medicine and innovation, and less prejudice and hate. We've all experienced those literary benefits firsthand. We've all read a book and felt better, or read a poem and felt uplifted, or watched a play and felt our imagination spark, inspiring us to dream up new possibilities. And what our research at Project Narrative does is take the next step. It identifies the specific nuts and bolts, the specific technological innovations, the specific invention blueprints that literature uses to generate its psychological benefits. Then we run experiments to quantify those psychological benefits to help you get more of the good stuff waiting on your bookshelves. So, for example, if you wanted to boost your optimism, availing yourself of the mental benefits that Martin Seligman and other psychologists have associated with a shift out of pessimism, we can point you toward what fairy tales are most likely to help, and also which fairy tales to avoid. Hint, avoid most of the stuff made by Disney. With that scientific know-how, you can read more intentionally, targeting your reading to get more of what you want now, and changing your reading to shift as your own personal wants and needs evolve. So if you want to get more creative, there's a technology from Shakespeare. If you want to help recover from trauma, there's a technology from ancient Greek tragedy. If you want to get over anger, there's a technology from the Hebrew Bible. If you want to become a better problem solver, there's a technology from Edgar Allan Poe. If you want personal growth, there's a technology from Maya Angelou. If you want more courage or life purpose or any of dozens of other psychological benefits, there are technologies for them too. I'm able to do this work because I have dual training in neuroscience and literature, but I don't do my research alone. I do most of it in collaboration with neuroscientists, psychologists, and doctors. And that interdisciplinary focus is why our research has attracted interest outside of university literature departments, inside of hospitals, engineering labs, and as you might have seen at JP Morgan and McKinsey. But our research also has revolutionary consequences for the way that we teach literature at school. A scientific approach to literature's technology can access more of the practical potential of the humanities. It can help undergraduate engineers invent more creative technologies, and science PhDs imagine new experiments, and students of all kinds boost their mental well-being. But to do all this, we have to change the way that we teach literature in our schools. We have to stop telling students to interpret books and write argumentative essays. That is the same pre-scientific approach that was taken to literature in the Middle Ages and that is recycled today through institutions like the Common Core. Instead, we need to bring psychology and neuroscience and medicine into literature classrooms, marrying cutting-edge lab research with classic novels, plays, and poetry, empowering students from kindergarten to college to tap into the parts of literature that their brains intuitively respond to, the characters, the stories, the worlds, the emotions. Hopefully that sounds intriguing, even exciting, but because it's a radical change, I often get questions and skepticism, so if you have concerns, I'd love to talk them through. I'm not here to force science on anyone, but I believe that we have an opportunity in front of us to use science to unlock more of the power that's in our favorite books and films, to make a happier, mentally healthier, more resilient, more courageous, more joyful, and more creative future. The future, I hope, that's what's next.